أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطهرين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ والله. اللهم كن لوليك المسجد الحسن، صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توها وتمتعه فيها طويلا. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
It was mentioned that Amir al-Mu'mineen, addressing his son, says that لا تكن عبد غيرك وقد جعلك الله حرا. That my son, never be a slave of another when Allah has made you a free man. Now, from the lessons of this great event of Ashura, now the entire event, it enlightens, it teaches us, and it spiritually, it lifts us. And among these lessons is this lesson of freedom, of man, from every ma'bud, from every worshipped. That is to say that Sayyid al-Shuhada, he wants us not to worship any ma'bud, but the ma'bud who is the Lord, who is the creator, who is the sustainer, who looks after us, who feeds us, who teaches us, who guides us. And to be away from every other God, every other ma'bud, every other worshipped, may that be living or may that be dead, that is apart from God, who is Allah. That is the main theme over here. And he says that if you relate and connect to Allah, the ultimate freedom that you are after, that will be sought. That is, man, he has to be a reflection of the existence of Allah. Someone who is related to Allah, or his ma'bud is the true God, he seeks freedom from everything else. He is free. Someone whose ma'bud is not Allah, is not the true God, that person, according to Amir al-Mu'mineen and the lesson taught by Abu Abdullah Hussein, that individual is a slave. But, and again, another teaching which we have over here is that someone who relates to God, to Allah, Allah makes him grow because he is the true God. But anyone connected, related, or whose worship is the fake God, that fake God never lets him grow. The fake lords, they would invite to indecency, they would invite to everything wrong, every evil. And as a result, when a person is drowned in all this evil and indecency, as a result of that, he dies, he is killed. When someone who is connected to the true God makes him live with all those bounties, with all those virtues, with all that goodness. As a result of all that, he grows, he lives, he endures. Among the teachings that we get from this movement of Abu Abdullah, is that someone who is not related to God is not free. And someone who is not free is dead. By dead, his soul is dead, not his body. Because when the body is dead, it needs to be buried. But when the soul is dead, there is nothing that could be done for that. Quran says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُسْمِعُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ, that a time comes during the lifetime of an individual when day in, day out, when all this evil and indecency and all these sins are committed by a person, the soul dies. The spirit dies. The ruh of an individual dies. And the moment this ruh is dead, that person again, spiritually, he is dead. Quran in this verse says that neither are the living and the dead alike. Surely Allah makes whom He pleases hear, and you cannot make them hear. Someone whose soul is dead, no matter how much you tell him, no matter how much you teach him, educate him, he never listens. He can never listen. Because the soul is dead. The ears are dead. Now by ears, we don't mean that the ears that we have that is stuck to our skull and our head. The ears of that soul that need to hear the advice and which they cannot hear. And again, for this disease that is the deadening or the dying of soul, Quran has mentioned that. And again says the reason for these, for this soul which dies, what is the reason for that? And prescribes a prescription, what is the cure for that? Our fourth Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu was salam. In the first whispered prayers that we have from among the Munajat Khamsata Ashar, he says, إِلَهِ أَلْبَسَتْنِ الْخَطَايَا ثَوْبَ مَذَلَّتِي وَجَلَّلْنِ التَّبَاعُدُ مِنْكَ لِبَاسَ مَسْكَنَتِي وَأَمَاتَ قَلْبِي عَظِيمُ جَنَايَتِي. That, O God, the faults, the shortcomings, the wrongdoings, the evil that I do throughout my life, that has clothed me in a garment, in a dress of dhanda and wretchedness. And all these wrongdoings of mine that I have throughout my life, that has distanced me from you. And then Imam says that وَأَمَاتَ قَلْبِي عَظِيمُ جَنَايَتِي. This heart of mine has died. And then says, this deadening or this dying of my heart, that is the greatest jinayah, the greatest crime that could be done. And then says, what is the cure? How can that heart which is dead can be revived, can be brought back to life? Says, فَأَحْيِهِ بِتَوْبَةٍ مِنْكَ يَا أَمَلِي وَيَا بُغْيَةِ. Says, O God, by means of repentance, by means of tawbah, make this heart of mine that has died, bring it back to life. So these nights that we have ahead, they are good, especially to revive one's heart. Well, all these busy schedule that we have throughout our life, especially over here running around so much, it so happens that things get piled up and the heart, it is not as it should be, as polished as it should be. There is a report from our second Imam. He says in a beautiful hadith, says that the heart of an individual, it's like a vessel. Now this vessel, it's got a lid on it. If you want that lid to be constantly in motion, you need a lubricant. It needs to be oiled so that that lid opens and closes frequently. And then Imam says that the lid, the heart of yours, the lid of it, if you want it to be lubricant and that nur of Allah to constantly pour down into that, and you are enlightened at all times, say recitation of salawat is the best lubricant.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Whenever you find that you have reached a dead end, you find no solution, the best solution is what the Imam has said. Quran says that the heart has died. Quran says the soul doesn't hear what you say. The advice which you, the teachings you have, you address your soul, it doesn't listen to you. What is the reason for that? Quran says, bima kuntum ta'amaloon. The reason for that is the evil attitude, evil behavior, evil performance of an individual, or the continuous sinnings in the past. Says, bima kuntum ta'amaloon. That is a past continuous tense. That bima kuntum ta'amaloon. Because of all that evil that you have done, that heart, this heart has deadened, has died. And if now, sometimes you find that the heart has died, you can revive it by way of tawbah. Sometimes this heart never revives, no matter how many years of repentance, it never revives. Again, you find that as a result of that, Quran says someone who has lived a life, for example 50, 70, 80 years, has sinned for the duration of his life, God forbid, punishment is that an eternal adam, an eternal punishment, eternal chastisement. Again, on the contrary, says that someone who has lived a life for that duration, for example 80, 100 years, a good life, the reward again is eternal in the heavens. A person comes to the sixth Imam and says that this doesn't seem to be logical, that he has sinned for 50 years, for 60 years, and then you say the punishment is forever. Says he has lived and he has been obedient for 50, 60 years, again, the reward again is forever. And in reply, Imam says that the reason for that, people who were given those opportunities to be good during their lifetime, if they were good and opportunities were given to them and death was not intervened, did not intervene between them and their life, they would continue doing that. But someone who is bad, sometimes that tawbah of his is more of a mockery, more of a taunting, more of making a maskhara, as the ayat says in Quran, that if he is given a life of 10 years, he sins. 20 years again, he will be the same. 30 again, the same. If he's given the entire life of the entire creation, again, he's going to be the same person. For that, that adab is forever. Again, for on the contrary, the reward is forever. Now, to understand this, we can look back into history or even today, the examples that we have. For example, Yazid. In the first year of his rule, the event of Karbala unfolds, and you see what afflictions and what not, what atrocities, what crimes, what sins were committed by that one individual. Now, if he says that I repented and I freely let the caravan return back to Medina from Sham after the event of Karbala, was that tawbah of his a true tawbah? Or when he says that I will give you all this blood money, forgive me, waive me, was that a true repentance? Yazid, that is the first year of his rule, and this tragedy of Karbala unfolds. Was he ever ashamed? If he was ashamed, he wouldn't continue with all those sins after that. For example, if you are to slaughter an animal in the way of halal, which is again the rule of Allah, it is halal, tayyib, for you to consume, But when you see an animal being killed and when it flaps its wings or when the feet of that animal rub to the ground, the person, it's a touchy moment. He feels sorry. Something is happening over there. The creation is giving away its life. But someone who's working in a slaughterhouse where they've got this mass production and animals being killed at a high rate, thousands in a second, in a minute, for that person who's working over there, it makes no difference. May that be one animal, may that be a thousand. Mm. It's the same. Yazid, the crimes which he committed were of that mass production crimes in the first year. The same thing was with Pharaoh, the same thing with Shaddad, with Namrud, all of them. The second year of Yazid's rule, what he does is that he appoints someone and says that I'm a Muslim bin Aqaba, and says I've got this report that the people in Medina, they are against me. Instructions given to him that you go to Medina, you've got full powers from me. The blood of every man in Medina is halal on you. All the women, the girls over there are halal on you. Whatsoever you want, you do. Kill them. A mass massacre. And the reports say that about 10,000 people in Medina were killed in the second year of this cursed rule of Yazid. So that repentance of Yazid, was that a repentance? Or if he was given another opportunity, would he become a good person? Does he not deserve that eternal adab of Allah? So that is how the logic works, that if he was given an opportunity of 60 more years, then this entire planet would have burnt down. Or again, in third year of his rule, the instructions given that I don't want to see any of these holy sites in Mecca. I want you to break that Kaaba down, to be demolished and destroyed. And it so happened that the people, they came there, the curtains of the Kaaba were burnt down, and that Mal'un, who was instructed to do that, had God not killed him there in Mecca, he would have continued with those atrocities and afflictions, with those crimes. Or an easy example for us to understand is Saddam, la'natullah alayhi. He starts his life, all those crimes, thousands of people killed throughout his rule, and when the news is given to them that in the town of Halabja, some of the Iranian soldiers, they have crossed that town, he instructs, and the entire village, the city, is pounded and everyone is killed in just 6 seconds. And they say about 6,000 people perished in just 6 seconds in that place. Has no haya, has no love, has no friendship, has no mahabba in any way, or that heart is a dead heart. Has no mercy upon anyone, even upon his own son-in-laws, from whom he has his grandchildren. They also were killed. The moment these criminals, they find that their rule is in danger, in any way, they just get rid of them, no matter who he is. The same thing can be seen today, that the regimes that are working, or the makers of Saddam, the Zionists, etc., the same thing is over there. With all these crimes that are unfolding day in, day out, for them, if an opportunity is given for another 50 years, the next 50 years is going to be the crimes again. It's not going to be a twist and tawbah, repentance in any way. The more they live, the more they crime. So, come on. For them, Quran says that khalidina fiha abada, that because of those crimes that you committed during your lifetime, may that be 10 years, may that be 20 years, 100 years, for that a punishment is forever. On the contrary, you see, those with Allah, awliya Allah, or those whose God is Allah, and by that connection to God, they seek the freedom. Now these, they connected to shaitan, they sought connected, they got connected to fake gods. Now these fake gods are Yazid, fake gods are Saddam's, fake gods are Zionists. Fake gods according to riwayat is wealth, fake god according to riwayat is pride, is rank, is dignity, etc., etc. Anyone who gets connected to the true God lives. Anyone who gets connected to the fake God is dead. This is the whole thing which Imam tells over here. And among the lessons taught by Sayyid Shuhada is that you want to live, get connected to the true God who is Allah.
Yes.
A God who possesses all those attributes of Kamal, of Jamal, of Jalal. Get connected to Him, you will endure.
Mm.
Be a reflection of God. Those who got connected to Allah, for example, Hazrat Zahra salamu Allah alayha.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
She lived for about 18 years. Or the reports that say that she lived for more, the maximum life that has been reported for her is just 25 years, not more than that. Now, even if you say that the taklif, which for a girl that starts at the age of 9, she had a worship span or the obedience span or a taklif span of just 9 years, or for example, 14 years. How come for just those 9 years of servitude, obedience and worship, she is given that high and exalted rank in the paradise, which no one ever possesses, the first lady of the paradise? Why is it that just for 9 years, that much? Because if she was given an opportunity to live for another 100 years, again the same services would be seen from her. Again the same support of wilaya would have been seen from her. Again the same ibadat would have been seen from her. Again the same worship, etc., etc. Imam says that if personalities like her were given an opportunity to live more, it's been the same. For them, they deserve. Or for example, Ali Akbar, a young lad. Reports say that he also lived for 18. Some maqatil say that 32. But in any case, 15 years or 20 years of life in taklif, in obedience of Allah, for that, that huge reward is there. Again, why? If an opportunity was given to him, if he lived for 100 years, or if the life of Prophet Nuh was given to him, again, the same pattern of his lifestyle would have continued until the last moment. For that, that reward is there. So, someone who is connected to the true God, he finds freedom from everything else, because he's related to Allah. Someone who is connected to the fake lords, to the fake gods, may that be living, dead, idols, etc. These people, they never get freedom, but they are slaves in all aspects, in every way, throughout their life. Amir al-Mu'mineen says that, لَا تَكُنْ عَبْدَ غَيْرِكَ وَقَدْ جَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ حُرًّا. Or elsewhere, the reason for all this huge reward and that punishment is al-a'malu bil-niyyat, that whatsoever you do, it is based on your intention. If the intention is good and for God, if the intention is good and for a good cause, then the reward is also in abundance. Says the moment you intend to do something good, you are registered and that is recorded automatically, whether you perform it or whether you don't. But when it comes to a sin, the reports, they say that Allah, He is mercy, all mercy, and there is no one more merciful than Him. Says that the more, if a person intends to commit a sin, nothing is registered. A sin is committed again, nothing is registered. Those angels who are assigned to register the sins of an individual, they are given a 7 hours grace period. Says that in these 7 hours, if that person who has sinned, who has committed this crime, if he repents and says, God forgive me, that sin will not be registered. That is the grace and mercy of Allah.
SubhanAllah.
And again says that if someone has committed that crime, has not repented, and that 7-hour period has passed, has lapsed, it will be registered. But again, if he repents, that will be waived, forgiven. Now we believe that on the Day of Judgment, these sins that we commit throughout our life, they will give evidence for us, sometimes evidence against us. The limbs, the different parts of our bodies, they will bear witness for us, sometimes in our favor and in against us again. And when these limbs will bear witness against us, for example, my hand, my tongue, my eyes, I would say on the Day of Judgment, Quran says that لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا, that why have you borne witness against me, whence you are part of my body? The hand was my hand, the tongue was my tongue, the eyes were my eyes. If a sin was committed, then why do you disclose, why do you reveal in the hereafter? And the verse says that the various parts of my body would say that أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that Allah who gave speech to you in that dunya,